Hi, and welcome to another podcast from Hinton Alliance Church. I'm Pastor Kevin, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together, and our goal with this podcast called Pastor's Ponderings is to discuss the message from last Sunday and to figure out if there's some things that we had to leave out because of time constraints, or maybe something wasn't quite clear enough, so we want to regurgitate and just chew on that for a bit, and we welcome you to come along for the journey.
Well, here we are, week one of Pastor's Ponderings.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this.
So this past Sunday, Kevin, you took a look at the story that so many of us have heard, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And we actually spent quite a bit of time in chapter 5 getting actually to that battle.
Yeah.
So was there anything that you missed Sunday? Anything that you didn't really have time to go into depth about?
Yeah, there was a couple of things that, you know, you run out of time, even in your preparation. And you have to end up cutting them out just because otherwise we'd be there forever. One of the things was to basically describe a bit more about how Joshua came together. And it's basically the story of Israel going into the promised land. And this was, you know, this was way back. Moses said, this is what we're going to do. Moses couldn't go in. A whole generation of people couldn't go in because they were disobedient. And you really can't unpackage all of that in... What did I preach? 45 minutes?
45
maybe.
Minutes, 50 minutes.
Maybe. Yeah, I've got to learn to cut back even more, I think. But just to let people know, I think one of the things that was interesting was the fact that whatever God had said to those people and told them and given them so many opportunities to, you know, to see things his way, to follow him. And yet at the same time, they were so stiff-necked and so stubborn, and they would fall off the wagon as quickly as you could blink, and they were already complaining, already doing something different in their own minds. And so when by the time you get to the book of Joshua, and they're standing on the edge of the promises that God had been giving to those people way back when they were slaves in Israel, or slaves in Egypt, they're finally there, and you think, all right, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be great. But a whole generation of people had to die off first. So I don't know. Who knows? It doesn't really say timelines. But how long were they there on that side of the river?
Astounding.
Looking down at, you know, Jericho and this seemingly completely impregnable city. How are we going to do this? You know, we got, what do we got? A couple of forks and a few pitchforks and maybe some hay forks and a couple of hoes. Are we going to attack a city with this?
And they'd actually sent spies in prior to that.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And right. Was it 10 and 8 came back saying there's absolutely no way.
Yeah.
But Joshua and Caleb.
But Joshua and Caleb were the only two that stood out as men of faith. And the rest were punished for their lack of faith. You know, they didn't trust that God was going to do it. And they had sent spies also into Jericho as well. So they didn't send 12 in. I think they sent 5. I'm not sure of the total number. But they sent these spies in, and that's where Rahab, you know, harbored them and kept them from the city's officials. And so Rahab was blessed with being able to escape from the destruction that happened in Jericho. Interesting story. Another totally interesting story that goes along with the walls coming down. And then, of course, post-walls coming down, you got another great story with Achan, who went in and stole a bunch of things that he wasn't supposed to touch. And yet, you know, and then the story continues where him and his whole family are slaughtered. So you have this wonderful contrast of this person who's a pagan from Jericho who believes.
Right.
And you've got this believer from Israel who doesn't believe. One is accepted into the family of the nation of Israel, and the other is completely excluded and terminated, basically, from the family of Israel. So it's quite a massive story, but you can't possibly cover all of that in a message. You just can't. Yeah, so that was one of the things that I think would have been nice to be able to unpackage that, especially for some of the new Christians out there.
Right.
To be able to sort of bring people along to the whole story, what led them to this place. And of course, I did mention it in the sermon about circumcision and how that was a sign or a clue that these guys had not been aware of what God's rules were, what God's laws were. They completely were misinformed, or at least... not misinformed, but they weren't even informed. They didn't know that they were supposed to be circumcised. So here you have them standing on the edge of this lake. And of course, all the men are in, they can't do anything. They're incapacitated for how long it takes. I don't know, a couple of weeks.
I wonder what thoughts went through their head when Joshua said, okay, men, it's time.
Yeah, I like it that it says, at this time, the Lord said to Joshua, make a flint knife and circumcise them again. Like, flint knife? Are you kidding me? Wow. Yeah, so I mean, there's some sort of sarcastic humor involved in all of that. So not only did they fail to enter into the promised land and receive this great promise from God, but they failed miserably in passing along their faith to the next generation, which is, I think, why it was important in the message to really establish that this was the reason why it took them so long to get into that wall, to get to that wall, and why I think if you didn't have any discipleship, you would have never agreed to walk around a city for 7 days, blowing horns and not saying, not the people not being able to say a word. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Joshua just wouldn't have been, but he was mentored. He was the only one that's mentioned that was mentored. Maybe Caleb was as well, but definitely it mentions Joshua being mentored by Moses. And so he was discipled. And so he didn't push back. He said, yeah, okay, this strange as it is, and I'm the general, and yeah, we'll march around and we'll keep everybody quiet. Listen to shofars or whatever those horns are called. blowing away. Anyway, just curious making to me how, you know, that whole part of the story sets this into motion. It sets it into a place where, all right, Joshua's going to have to stand up on his own two feet here and lead these people, freshly circumcised, into battle.
Yeah, they're coming off of doing something that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And circumcising as, you know, being circumcised as adult men.
Yeah.
Then being told something equally as audacious.
Right.
March around these walls for 7 days and they're going to come down.
Yeah. Very strange. Strange stuff.
To think of the leadership that Joshua would have had to shown.
Yeah.
In those moments.
Yeah.
When all these
yeah.
men, all these people were looking to him.
Yeah.
And he comes to them with this plan.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had to... I honestly think, I mean, it was such a significant part of the scripture that it's the significant, it's so significant that a theophany takes place, which does not happen mm-hmm. very often, where God takes on a human form and spends time talking directly to Moses and telling him directly mm-hmm. what he wants him to do. And I think what it was not only proof that the circumcision wasn't just a physical act,
right?
But it was now proof positive that they were willing to have faith to trust that God would do what he was going to do mm-hmm. almost ignorant or almost sorry totally apart from what he instructed them to do,
right.
just walk around blow horns, walk around and make yourself look impressive. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you mentioned theophany.
Yeah,
explain a bit more what is that.
Well,
and when does it take place?
It happens a few times in the Old Testament. And basically, you know, on Sunday, I kind of just briefly went over it. But it's basically like Jesus taking on human form before he was actually Jesus, you know, in the womb of Mary. And so that kind of, it describes a theophany. It's a Greek word that is God or theos. Mm-hmm. And it's an appearing. It's a theophany. Mm-hmm. And so you have God coming in appearance. And so you have basically Jesus. He is the captain of the Lord's army. He's the the leader, the general, and he's having a word with the other general. So the two generals go face to face, and he instructs Joshua, "Take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground." And I just know that's a key thing because it put Joshua right back into the presence of what Moses told him.
Right.
How Moses was approached by a holy God and told to take off his sandals. And so he knew this was the connecting point. This was how he knew, oh, this is who this is. And so he took off his shoes and he knew that this was holy ground because of the presence of that man. But he had to have that experience to believe, because no general in his right mind would ever take those instructions seriously. Ever.
Not at all.
No.
Never.
Never. But it had to come that way. And I think it was because he was mentored and he was discipled. Mm-hmm. And he kind of half expected, okay, well, this is my crazy God who does the stupidest, dumbest things that make no sense, but I'll follow him anyway. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to, like you said, lead people into that same decision. All right, here we go. This is what we're doing. Follow me. Right? Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So how does God meet us?
we think about the story of Joshua and God leading him to do these things that make no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, God leads us to do things that make no sense.
Right.
Loving our neighbor.
Yeah.
Praying for those who persecute us.
Yeah.
Living and walking by faith.
Yeah.
And by his Holy Spirit, he meets with us in a very real way, just as those theophanies would occur.
Yeah.
So how do we see that play out in our lives? How do we see those moments of God coming to us?
Yeah. I would say that, in the New Testament talks about how Jesus, that we have the ability through the Holy Spirit and through the victorious Jesus from the death to resurrection, which is the ultimately what Christianity is all about. It's kind of about that resurrection. But he gives us weapons that we can use that are not of this world to the taking down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened in that story. It's like it gives us a visible, almost like interesting or curious-making story that shows that God is able to take down strongholds that we would consider to be strongholds in our lives. And with his presence, the presence of the ark there is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He was there among them as the people. And to be able to take that down, but to do it his way. And to be able to shout to the ram's horns, that's a whole other symbol of God's presence. So we learned from Leviticus that when the ram's horns were to be played by the priests, it was a signal. There was three or four different things, but one of them was definitely that when they faced the enemies of God, that they would have victory. And those ram's horns were symbols of that taking place. So that was another key part of this battle, was not only the presence of the ark, but also the sounding of the trumpets to remind the Lord, you promised that you would come to our aid against our enemies. And here we are at this wall. How are we going to do this? So in my life, how this plays out is as I trust the Holy Spirit and as I trust in him and do as he says, it doesn't always make sense to me. Although it's not going to be crazy like this, crazy like a fox, like this kind of stuff.
Right.
It will seem like it doesn't make sense to, thinking of an illustration of, say, someone who's hurt you. And to forgive them doesn't make sense. Because are you saying I'm letting them off the hook? Right? Are you saying that they get to go free?
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, you are. It doesn't make sense to do it that way. But in reality, what's happening is the actual reverse is going on, where actually I'm being set free from them. It's not about setting them free from me. It's about I'm being set free from them. And I'm putting them on God's hook. So all of that doesn't make a lot of sense in your head, but it's a little bit like walking around a city, blowing horns and, marching and saying nothing for 7 days.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's how it plays out. And I think that was the thrust of the message, was that, what is the walls? And I think his question that he asked Joshua was so good. As soon as I read it, I knew that was what God wanted to say. He said to Joshua, so the first verse is, now Jericho was tightly shut up and no one came in and no one came out because of the people of Israel. Verse 2, he says to Joshua, see, I have given the city with all its, the king and all his mighty men into your hands. It was about seeing. What did Joshua see? He saw the victory. He saw that God had it under control. Yeah, it's all about faith.
So it leads into another question I have.
Yeah.
When the walls don't come down when we think they should.
Yeah.
When it seems like we are marching around those walls.
Yeah.
We're keeping our mouth shut.
Yeah.
We're doing exactly what God wants us to.
Yeah.
But the walls still seem like they're standing strong. How do we persevere?
Yeah.
How do we keep going?
Yeah, that's the weapon, right? That's one of the weapons of our warfare is perseverance. And I think in some ways it's a little bit like saying they knew the end. They knew it, right? They knew on day seven times around, and then the walls were to come down. They knew it. But getting there must have been just, hard. It may have seemed like, it was only 7 days, but it may have seemed like 7 years, so they had to, by faith, trust. They knew the end. And that's where I think perseverance comes in. Yeah, this is a weapon of our warfare, perseverance. It's not a popular one.
No.
Yeah, not a real popular one. But I think it's essential to our faith. And it's a weapon that we can use against doubt, mm-hmm. against disobedience, against falling away, against, you know, being so lonely that I just got to have whoever I can find mm-hmm. when I can trust that God's going to answer me. But, you know, I may not know when.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's wrestling through knowing that the walls might not come down in this lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. Because that's the imagery, right? They're going into the promised land.
Promised land.
They're crossing over the River Jordan, which is, I think it's in some of those old Negro spirituals, you know, those old songs that they used to sing, crossing the River Jordan, which is like a sign of dying, and then going into the promised land, you know? I mean, that is a symbol of heaven. So we may have to wait until, like, if the wall, for example, is some healing that you need, you may not get it here. You may have to wait until you're on the other side. You're in the promised land. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, interesting, eh?
Well,
I think that's it. I think that's some of the ponderings that I would have from last Sunday's message. Was there anything you had questions about?
You know, these old stories. I grew up in Sunday school.
Yes.
I heard all the stories growing up. I remember my Sunday school teachers, and so many times I think, you know, I look at them as these stories and, you know, we hear the story of Joshua and Jericho. God can bring down walls.
Yeah.
We hear things like David and Goliath. Yeah. Well, God can bring down giants.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to think of them as stories that once happened.
Right.
And not as, what is God showing us through these that he wants to do in my life?
Yeah.
You know, where we can read, okay, David bringing down Goliath is giant. Yeah. Well, there are giants that we face in our life.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
There are walls in our life, just like the Israelites faced.
Yeah.
And we can't look at these just as stories that once happened,
but
realizing the same God that did those amazing, miraculous things few thousand years ago is ready to do the same thing today.
Yeah.
And it might look different.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's going to.
We're not gonna walk around literal walls of a city.
Right.
But there are things in our life that God desires to bring down if we're obedient.
Yeah.
I think of things like addictions and, you know, those things that we hold on to.
Yeah.
Or that seem like they're holding on to us.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about sin as it's like chains holding us into slavery.
Yeah.
And it's remembering, just like God brought down those walls, he can break any addiction in our life.
Yep.
And it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. It might take longer than we would hope.
Yep.
A lot of times it does. And what's required of us doesn't always make a lot of sense.
No. And it can be very uncomfortable. And
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the other things that I read that I, you know, you spend time in your message when you're preparing, you go down some of these rabbit trails.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rabbit trails was in the very next verse, it says, and Israel broke faith with God.
Mm.
So they got through this amazing experience. Amazing. And by faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho came down. It was all by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing to do with the science or the mathematics of people walking around a bit, you know, none of that. It was all by faith. And then the next verse in chapter 7, and the people broke faith. So again, here we go. One more cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this wonderful experience. And that just tells me that last week's victory is not good enough for this week's victories.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's victory is great, and we can talk about it. We see God's hand in it. But it doesn't keep my faith active.
That's right.
For today. Yesterday's victories doesn't keep my faith active today. Today is a new day that I need to engage my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother sort of sermon that can come out of, you know, you could really go down that rabbit trail too. But I love, in the preparation of a sermon, I think that's part of it, is that you don't always give the people everything you've studied.
No.
But the joy of the study and the joy of the journey when you're putting the message together is little rabbit trails like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is little rabbit trails like why the circumcision thing,
right,
which is, you know, bizarre at best.
Right.
But understandable because of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So you could spend a whole chunk of time just talking about that particular part of the whole covenant part.
Mm-hmm.
but you can't. And so you have to narrow it all down and kind of give it out there and run with it. But yeah, definitely, no, there's such great application, no matter what the ancient story. I mean, Sunday school was great for me too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they're good for kids. Those right. stories are great for kids. Mm-hmm. They don't know all the stuff that we talked about, but they see right. or they hear this story about a guy who trusted God with the people of Israel and the walls came down. Mm-hmm. And they can have in their imaginations all of that happening.
Right.
You know?
I think it's such a great foundation that we yeah. lay in the life of our kids. And yeah. that's why I think it's so important for families that, yeah. you know, we talk about these stories with our kids.
Yes.
And I think of my kids, I've got, you know, my oldest who are 5 and almost 4.
Yeah.
Well, they love stories.
Oh, yeah.
They love reading stories. They love when I tell them stories. And they're primed and ready to hear these stories that we can say, these aren't made up like all the other stories, but they're real and yeah. they really happened.
Yeah.
And again, they don't get all the ins and out. And I'm not going to explain circumcision to my 5-year-old daughter.
Nope.
But laying this foundation of God is powerful enough to bring down walls
yes.
by people just marching around.
By doing what he says.
Hey? By doing what mm-hmm. he says. Mm-hmm. And it's a foundation so that as they get older mm-hmm. and as they start facing, even their teenage years,
yeah.
more complicated things, yeah. as they look at friendships
yeah.
and being rejected mm-hmm. and bullying
yeah.
and things like that, and these, you know, self-image, mm-hmm. those things that so many teenagers struggle with,
yeah.
having that foundation laid early helps them to grasp that God is a God who tears down walls.
Yeah.
God is a God who slays giants. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I'm facing, he can take care of it.
Yeah. And you can find victory in him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great encouragement to parents.
Yeah.
Even if your kids are small,
yeah.
teach them these stories.
Yeah.
Lay this foundation because yeah. it's going to be so vital, so important as they mm-hmm. grow older.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And I think, you know, your parenting, part of being a good parent, a Christian parent, mm-hmm. is to make sure that you teach them this stuff from the mm-hmm. Lord. Teach it to them. Don't just depend on, you know, church or Sunday morning right. children's ministry, as important and good as all that is. It still falls back upon the shoulders of a parent to take the Bible, to right. read the story,
mm-hmm.
maybe answer some of their simple questions. You know, why did that happen, Daddy? Or
right.
Why did they do it that way? Or, you know, I remember because you read them so much, eh? And you mm-hmm. read these Bible stories that are coming out of these children's Bibles, you know?
Right.
And so after a while, I was like, oh, I'm so tired of reading these same stories. So then I thought, I'm going to change it up. So I started messing up the story. Well,
oh
man, did I ever strike a guard? That's not the way it is, you know? And I just thought, that's so good. They know
that's
it.
Great.
It's going to help them somewhere in their life because that's the way God's word is. It's living mm-hmm. and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
And it's good for kids, and it's good for teens, and it's good for adults and grandmas and grandpas.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
That's right.
All right. Well, I think we've covered the whole basis of that
one. I think so.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that very much. I hope that you all enjoyed that out
yes.
there listening. And I hope that it's been helpful for you, even as maybe you're getting together and talking with some other people about Sunday's message and how it helped you or didn't help you or stumbled you up or questions you have about it. And that's the point of this podcast.
That's right.
To help you through that.
And hopefully you can continue down some of those rabbit trails like
yeah.
Kevin mentioned earlier as we
yep.
study to prepare a message
yep.
that we face.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to dive in. Don't yeah. be afraid to go deep.
Mm-hmm.
God's word is it's active
yeah.
and his spirit is there to guide you.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to jump in.
You bet.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Pastor's Ponderings.
Yeah, it was good.
We look forward to many weeks to come as we take a look back on the sermons from Sunday and maybe here and there an issue that's facing our day and age.
Mm-hmm.
We would encourage you, don't be afraid to reach out. If you heard something Sunday, if you heard something in this podcast you have questions about, if you want to know what it means to follow Jesus,
mm-hmm.
reach out to us. You can call the church office, go to our website, hintonalliance.com, our Facebook page, reach out. We're happy to answer any questions, grab a cup of coffee with you, and we look forward to speaking at you again next week.
Mm-hmm.